Chapter 11. What Happened to Andrew? Maya drove along a road that went through a large wood before arriving at Christopher Swain's address. There was a group of buildings with a gate and security cameras. A security guard came to take her inside one of the buildings. "What is this place?" asked Maya.
"It's a recovery center," said the man. "People come here to get better from problems that they have, like with alcohol."
A woman met them at the door and took Maya into a large living room where Christopher Swain was waiting. He stood up and nervously said hello. They sat down beside each other, and Christopher looked out of the window. Then he said,
"Joe was so confident and full of life. I can't believe that he's dead."
"Christopher," Maya said, "you were on the boat the night that Andrew died." He did not move. "What really happened?" she asked. A tear dropped down Christopher's cheek.
"I didn't see it, Maya."
"But you know something?" she said. "Did Andrew really fall?"
"I think,"
he whispered, before taking a deep breath and starting again.
"I think that Joe pushed him off the boat."
Maya looked at him silently. Christopher held the arms of his chair as he told Maya his story.
"It started when Teo Mora came to Franklin Biddle Academy. You might think that we, the rich kids, were horrible to Teo because his family was poor, but he was a funny, confident guy, and we all liked him. He was also a fantastic soccer player, which was possibly the problem."
"What do you mean?" asked Maya.
"Joe always wanted to be the best player on the team. I had known Joe since we were kids, and I saw what he could do when he was angry. Once, he attacked a kid so badly that the kid had to go to hospital. A year later, this girl that Joe liked planned to go to a dance with another boy. 2 days before the dance, there was a fire in the boy's classroom, and he hardly escaped alive."
"No one reported this to the police?" asked Maya.
"You didn't know Joe's dad," said Christopher. "He was a frightening man. He could scare anyone, and the family also paid people to stay quiet. Joe usually hid his anger, but sometimes I saw it appear."
The tears started coming again.
"Do you know why I'm in this recovery center?"
he said.
"I'm here because of Joe. At first, I never used to drink more than a beer, but then I couldn't stop myself."
"Christopher," Maya interrupted, "what happened to Teo?"
"We'd only planned for it to be a funny trick. That's what Joe said, anyway. And at first, Teo believed it, too. Joe was the leader. Andrew and I were always the followers. 4 of us held Teo in a chair while Joe got a bottle of beer and started pouring it into Teo's mouth. We were all laughing and shouting, 'Drink, drink, drink!' Teo's eyes began to look really scared. Then Joe changed the beer to a much stronger alcohol. And I remember Andrew saying, 'Wait, Joe, stop.' Suddenly, Teo's legs started shaking like something was seriously wrong with him."
Christopher started to cry. Maya had to wait for him to stop. "So you moved his body into the basement?" she asked after a while.
"Joe did that,"
Christopher said.
"And he made Andrew help him. I think that was too much for Andrew."
Javier Mora had been right. Andrew had felt guilty. "So what happened?" Maya asked.
"We had to keep the secret," said Christopher. "I tried to live an ordinary life, but nothing was the same. That's when I started drinking more alcohol.
So what about the boat 6 weeks later? Asked Maya.
It was the first time that we'd all been together since Teo's funeral,
he said.
Andrew looked awful. He couldn't sleep or eat. He kept crying and saying that we had to go to the police. He went outside on the boat, and several minutes later, Joe followed him. That's all I saw.
And you never told anyone for all these years? Asked Maya. Christopher nodded. So why are you able to tell the truth now? She asked.
Because Joe is dead,
he said.
And I don't have to be scared of him anymore. I finally feel safe.
Maya heard Christopher Swain's words in her head as she walked back to her car.
Because Joe is dead.
She immediately thought of seeing Joe in the nanny cam video. There were three ways to explain it. First, Joe could still be alive. Second, Maya's mind was tricking her and she had imagined seeing him. Her PTSD and the shock of Claire's murder could make that happen. Finally, perhaps someone had recorded a fake video. She needed to find Isabella and make her tell the truth. Maya got into her car and looked on her phone to check the GPS tracker that she had put on Hector's truck. It was parked outside an address in Paterson, a town in New Jersey. Perhaps Isabella was hiding there. Suddenly, her phone rang. It was Shane.
What have you done, Maya?
He asked. What are you talking about? She said.
I spoke to Detective Kearse. He found out that I tested that bullet for you. He told me that the same gun killed Claire and Joe. How is that possible, Maya?
Shane, you just have to trust me, okay? She said.
You keep saying that, Maya, he replied. Tell me what's going on.
I have to go, Shane. She hung up and closed her eyes. Forget about it, she told herself. But the call from Shane had shaken her. Then she called Eddie, asking him to meet her outside Lily's daycare center. When Eddie's car arrived at the daycare center, she got into the passenger seat.
What's happening, Maya?
He asked. I need you to pick Lily up and look after her again. Eddie looked at her.
Do you know who killed Claire and Joe?
Yes, she said.
But you won't tell me?
He said. Not yet, no. I don't have time, and Claire would want me to protect you.
Maybe I don't want to be protected,
he argued.
I can help you.
You can help me by picking up Lily, she said. As he turned to open the car door, she put an envelope into his bag without him seeing. Then she got out too. I love you, Eddie.
I love you too, Maya.
She watched him go inside the daycare center, then got into her car and drove away.